You're listening to RTRFM 92.1, and I'm pressing all the wrong buttons here, but that was Mr. Manage and the Suicide Farm, a London hip-hop outfit, and that was off the radio.indymedia.org. It was on uk.indymedia.org. And if I can find the back announce track, I'll play that later so you can find out exactly where to get it from. On the phone with us now is KT.
How you doing, Al?
Good, it works. These buttons work and everything. Wow, the wonders of modern technology.
Yep.
So you've just gotten back on the weekend, I presume, from your walk from Launceston to Fremantle. How was it?
Well, it was amazing. It was. We finished on Saturday in Fremantle with about 35, 40 people down at the South Mall in Fremantle, which was really awesome, really nice. And we had Noongar elder Auntie Marie Thorne came down and had a yarn with us and told us we're all special. That was really great. Yeah.
How many people did you end up having on the whole walk from Launceston down to Freo?
Well, it varied. Like, some people had, you know, work commitments or study commitments and stuff. But we had pretty constantly about 12 people there, which was a really nice number. Yeah, it was really awesome.
What sort of, what did all the motorists and attitude did they have to you guys?
The response was amazing.
Oh, great.
Really awesome. And we've had a few jokes amongst ourselves about starting up a few clubs like Bogans for Peace and Utes for Peace and Council Workers for Peace. And yeah, because the response on the whole, really, really great. Yeah, lots of people waving and giving us a thumbs up and peace signs. And the army troops that were driving past, because of course they were actually using the training area at Launceston last week, which was a surprise to us.
You guys didn't even realise that they were training up there?
Well, they don't really get a lot of notice, and so the locals got one day's notice.
Wow.
And so that we had actually a lot of people stop and tell us how annoyed they were that they couldn't get up to their holiday shacks at Wedge Island, because the four-wheel drive tracks were closed, because they were blowing things up.
Blowing shit up.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, but even, like, the troops in the convoys, the army convoys, were all giving us peace signs and waving. And
wow.
Yeah, it was great. I had my photo taken with some...
The soldiers?
Soldiers, yep.
Soldiers for peace.
Yeah. Well, really, you know, I'm sure a lot of them don't really know what they're getting into when they sign up either.
Mm.
And I mean, particularly in the States, a lot of US soldiers sign up because they're trying to, you know, because it's a get-out-of-jail-free card or free education, but what they don't realise when they sign up is that they have to go and actually kill people and get fired at and breathe in radioactive dust and all that kind of nasty business that is war.
So,
like you were saying before, with the sort of the bogans and everything, and so like truckies and even soldiers supporting you, I guess that's one of the important things about this whole campaign against the war games, is that it affects the people up there in Launceston. Did you get many people from Launceston coming down with you, or did you get much support from the local community up there?
The local community were quite interested in what we were doing and asked a lot of questions. Only two of them actually came out to walk with us, but they're particular people are really dedicated workers, and the cops were really supportive as well, which was interesting, because the local policemen up there were getting all these calls from the feds, who were freaking out about what was happening in Rockhampton, saying, make sure you don't have any people going getting lost in that bombing range of yours.
Now, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, the whole reason for the peace walk was to sort of protest against the Talisman Sabre 2005 war games, which involved some 17,000 troops from US and Australia.
That's right, yeah. Well, their originally planned 30,000 troops wasn't quite fulfilled because the US aren't meeting their recruitment drives.
They're all dying.
Too many soldiers dying, too many wars. Not enough recruits.
Yeah, now, and we know that over in Shoalwater Bay, or around Rockhampton at least, there was, I think I was reading, some 1,500 peace converges.
I've heard it was really successful, and they blockaded a road, and a couple of people got arrested. And
yeah, there's 10 arrests from what
I've heard. Yeah, it was very exciting, I'm sure.
And they blocked a truck, some trucks and things like that, so it's very good stuff.
Yeah, and stay tuned, because the war games aren't actually over yet, and I've heard there's a few more things to come.
Okay, and so what essentially is wrong with the war games?
Well, where do I start? I'll start with the science of the contamination. Now, the munitions that they use in live firing, which is what they were using live ammunition, but they sometimes use practice or dummy ammunition, which is also called green ammunition. But anyway, these the explosives that they use are really toxic, and there's a lot of heavy metals involved, and they used to use a lot of lead. They don't use lead so much anymore, but they started using things like depleted uranium, which are not only toxic heavy metals but also radioactive for 4.5 billion years. Now, there's a lot of other chemicals used, like RDX, which is called Research Development Explosive, TNT, all kinds of weird petrochemicals that basically build up in the life, in the species that are in the bombing range, get into the water and the soil, and like areas like Bradshaw and Delamere, they're washing into, you know, World Heritage listed national parks.
It's like the Kakadu you were saying last
time. Yeah, Delamere washes the, it's a catchment area for Kakadu wetlands, which is like, I mean, we all know how special Kakadu is, and yeah, to be washing all these crazy chemicals in. A lot of the chemicals that are used have all kinds of health effects to humans, let alone all the other species that are a bit smaller than us, but some of the effects that they have on humans are like kidney failure and liver damage, neurological damage, heart disease, cancer. They cause deformities, birth deformities, and all kinds of, really gross things. But, you know, it's justified, of course.
Apparently.
Yeah, but they don't only affect the civilians living there, they also affect the soldiers, and I guess it's not enough to say that war should be clean. It's more to the point to just say that you're never going to achieve peace through bombing each other, so might as well just not do it.
It's quite incongruous, isn't it, the idea of violence to stop violence?
Yeah, peace by force.
I guess that's
a little
bit
peaceful.
I guess that's things we're sort of directly supporting the American war on terror by conducting these war games. Is that sort of one of the main reasons you feel yourself sort of going on these walks, because you also went over to Hiroshima recently?
I was in Hiroshima last August for the 59th anniversary of the bomb dropping, and this year, of course, it's the 60th anniversary, so it's a big one. We're going to be having some events in Perth, including on the 5th of August, having something in Forest Place in the evening. That's Friday.
When was that? Sorry, I missed that. When was that?
Friday, August the 5th.
Okay, yeah.
The evening in Forest Place. There'll be a kind of peace vigil and commemoration memorial, I guess. Yeah. Peaceful and candles and things. Singers.
I've got a question from Barry Parsons from Bunbury. He's the editor of Twat magazine. I'm not sure if he's seen it, but he's
here. I've met Barry.
Hi, KT. Basra here from Twat magazine. I was just wondering, with Lancelin, isn't that close to the sacred ground of Ningaloo? And I was wondering if our great spokesman, Tim Winton, made it out there to the throng to discuss the war games.
Lancelin's not quite as far north as Ningaloo. Lancelin's only 200 k's from Perth, whereas Ningaloo's like 1,000 or something.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But, it is pretty special, and it's just south of the Pinnacles, which are an important Noongar site there, as I believe, I understand.
Correct,
that they're actually a punishment ground and a kind of area of avoidance. But, it's pretty special country up there. And
actually, Tim lives in Lancelin, though, doesn't he?
I think he lives somewhere around there. I mean, I think his novel Dirt Music...
Maybe he was hiding or busy or something.
Well, he's a bit of a hermit that... Yeah, I haven't asked him personally.
Cool. Okay, so what's next for you guys? Are you doing any more walking?
I'm actually going to go to India in December to walk Gandhi's Salt March, but that's another story altogether.
A stroll. Wow, the Salt March walk. Wow, really?
Yeah, they walk it every year in commemoration of Gandhi's amazing non-violent tactics.
Wow, you must have great feet. All this walking, great calves.
I'm going to have great arthritis when I get older.
Good on you, KT. So, anything else you want to leave us with?
I did want to mention an anti-nuclear gathering. Mm. There's actually a pro-nuclear conference at the Convention Centre in Perth next Tuesday, and there's an anti-nuclear, presence. We've got to have a presence there, because it's the World Energy Commission talking about how great nuclear energy is.
And oh, those guys.
Thing is, nuclear energy's, a big monster again in the news at the moment.
It certainly is. It's looming there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's important for us. I think it's important for us to go down there and encourage them to look to alternative energy like solar and wind, renewable
Okay, so you'll obviously be putting a story up on Perth Indie Media about that one.
Of course I will. 12 till 2, Convention Centre, next Tuesday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks heaps, KT, and fill us in on all the things that you do.
Yeah, Indie Media rocks out. Thanks, guys.
No worries.
See ya.
We'll catch you next time.
The musicians are put in a position of believing that they need the corporations in order to do their music.